I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We are watching growing threats of the Israel-Hamas war spreading into a much wider conflict. New overnight, the Israeli military ramping up airstrikes after announcing it was expanding its ground assault to the entire Gaza Strip, including in the south. That is where so many civilians have fled. The IDF says the strikes destroyed 200 Hamas targets.
That happening as in the Red Sea, the U.S. Navy destroyer came to the rescue of three commercial ships that were attacked by Iran-backed Houthi rebels. The Pentagon says the destroyer shot down drones, and one of the commercial ships was attacked with a ballistic missile. We're also keeping a close eye on Israel's northern border with Lebanon, where Israeli forces have been exchanging fire with Hezbollah. This morning, the IDF says three Israeli soldiers were hurt by mortar shells fired from Lebanon.
In other words, the fighting continues. The ceasefire ended, and immediately, if it's over, Israel is back at war, as it should be, to get and destroy Hamas. Now, you heard them mention about some of the ships that were being fired on in the Red Sea, in one case, ballistic missiles, four of them against three separate commercial ships in the Red Sea, one of them an Israeli-owned ship. We have a U.S. destroyer in that area, USS Kearney, and they shot down two of the drones, and also some of the missiles got basically, as they say, taken down. And they point out, the central command for that area points out, of all of these attacks, the ballistic missiles and the drones, all of them have been fueled by Iran. No surprise there, right? But now we actually have our Defense Department making it clear, stating that the Houthis in Yemen have been, quote, fully enabled by Iran, saying they represent a direct threat to international commerce, maritime security, jeopardizing the lives of international crews representing multiple countries around the world. We also have reason to believe that these attacks, while launched by the Houthis in Yemen, are fully enabled by Iran. The U.S. will consider all appropriate responses in full coordination with international allies and partners. Now what next? Thank you for joining us. This is December 4, 2023, the second of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA. We're here for you Monday through Friday from 6 to 8, with one exception coming up Wednesday. That is going to be the GOP debate. The station will be carrying the GOP debate from 7 to 8, so there'll be only 1 hour of Larry Connors USA on Wednesday, followed by the last GOP debate. We'll review it the following day for you, because I doubt many are really going to pay attention to it, but we'll see what we can bring out of it that might have some value. And reminding you, when we're on the air with you, we are streaming video at Larry Connors USA Facebook and News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter and on Rumble. If you miss anything, go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. That simple. Easy to find me. So immediately you're hearing from Palestinian supporters, certainly in this country as well, and Hamas supporters who still will not denounce fully what Hamas did. Even the rape is... I want to take a moment to backtrack for 1 second. For years, I taught students learning electronic journalism. Journalism in base, not just electronic, but all journalism. And things that I said that you should never put into copy, something like brutal rape. I said, I would think that rape of any type to a woman would be brutal. Not what she wanted. That's why it's called rape. Now, there might be different forms of brutality used, maybe numerous people, men, obviously. Oh, I'm sorry for you, you transgenders, whatever you want to say, I don't care. Or threatening to kill their child, or threatening to kill them, holding a knife at their throat. So there are other factors that figure in, but the rape itself is brutal. But the atrocities committed by Hamas against Jewish women, regardless of their age, even if they were dead, maybe there is a use for brutal rape. And yet, you've got a congresswoman who was on a network broadcast over the weekend, just could not accept that the acts that were carried out against those women should be made that significant. I kid you not. And you will hear before this hour is over what she had to say and my response. All right, to get back on track, we're talking about the peace fire and how it came about. If you listen to those supporting PLO and Hamas, Israel is the reason it resumed. Well, actually, to his credit and to the fact, Antony Blinken, Secretary of State, standing beside a jet warming up to bring him back to the States, said no, look to Hamas.
It's also important to understand why the pause came to an end. It came to an end because of Hamas. Hamas reneged on commitments it made. In fact, even before the pause came to an end, it committed an atrocious terrorist attack in Jerusalem, killing three people, wounding others, including Americans. It began firing rockets before the pause had ended, and as I said, it reneged on commitments it made in terms of releasing certain hostages.
So he clearly makes it obvious to us that it is Hamas' point. I want you to listen to John Bolton, former national security advisor for Trump. He was appearing on News Nation, and he said, reference this pause in the fighting. You're basically seeing Biden begin to slide more pro-Hamas.
With the initial pause now behind us, I think Israel's best judgment here is simply to proceed militarily to achieve the objective it says it wants, which is the elimination of Hamas. I think the second guessing by the Biden administration, the efforts to prolong the pause, to turn it into a full ceasefire, are objectively pro-Hamas because it denies Israel the self-defense right it has to eliminate the terrorist threat. I think that's a kind of terrorist veto. And I think when you take the position that Israel can defend itself, it just can't defend itself very well, you're setting up an impossible task for the Israelis unless they just continue to pursue this on their own.
That's like telling a police officer going out on the street, we're giving you a gun, ammunition, but if you're attacked or you see someone being attacked, you're not allowed to use it. I'll give you a more precise example regarding Israel and what we have been supplying them and now basically telling them how to use it. I mean, we cannot control what Israel, nor should we, what Israel is doing, reverence, trying to eradicate these terrorists. And we still haven't sent them money, $14.5 billion, which even Chuck Schumer, Jewish New York senator, majority leader, stood in the Senate well and demanded $14.5 billion to help Israel ASAP. And within days, the Speaker of the House, Johnson, gets legislation passed providing $14.5 billion for Israel. What did Schumer say? Not a serious bill. Why? Because it didn't include money also for Ukraine and other things they wanted to throw in. Part of it a farce to improve border security here. It wasn't going to. But you look at Schumer and Biden together, and it's appalling to me that Biden is a proclaimed Catholic, and I'm not trying to be the judge, jury. This is you, your religion, you make your decision. But how he can openly support abortion when, in fact, because of his faith, he was against it and was part of the Hyde Amendment, which kept federal dollars from being spent on abortions, and now willing to let abortions take place at federal facilities and provide members of our armed forces time off and pay and travel if they have to go to another state for an abortion. He's doing that. Schumer's a Jew and yet turning his back on his own people, saying, well, we're not going to get that money to them, even though I said we'd need it. I've got it in hand, but I'm not going to release it because we want more money for Ukraine at the same time. Bolton again said, you're just looking at a collective Biden failure list.
I think the administration is weak. I think it's weak on Ukraine, it's weak on China, it's weak on Iran, it's weak on North Korea, and it's weak on the terrorist threat that Israel faces. Biden's rhetorical support initially was quite strong, but when he put his arm around Netanyahu, he kept his arm around Netanyahu, and they really are trying to constrain what Israel is doing. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's for political reasons. I think you've got an important point there. I think the administration is scared to death of the left wing of the Democratic Party, but it's also because Biden internationally wants to have it both ways, saying he favors self-defense, just not very much of it.
Those of you who have listened to me since October 7, and before, I hope, you heard me from October 7 say you will see Biden come forward and stand with the Israelis, but then begin to slide away and now trying to tell them basically what they can and can't do. Perfect example I said I would provide you. Here it is. We are supplying them bunker-busting bombs, the same ones we used to reach into the mountains of Afghanistan. We've given them to them, but said, before you use them to blast into those tunnels, make sure you don't get any civilians killed in the process. Well, how are they going to do that when we know Hamas is using civilians as protection, as a shield? Former Deputy National Security Advisor K.T. McFarland says, we've got to quit following the routine way of dealing with terrorists like Hamas.
It's called the mowing the grass approach, which is that Hamas builds up, then attacks Israel. Israel goes back and destroys a couple of Hamas military sites. Everything's fine for a year or two until the grass grows back up. Hamas starts it again. After those October 7th attacks, Israel's not going to do that anymore. No more mowing the grass. They're going to go and they've got to eliminate and eradicate Hamas. It's not only for Israel's sake. It's frankly for the whole region's sake. It's for the Palestinian people. How are the Palestinian people aided by an organization that controls them that wants them to die? Makes no sense. Israel, let them finish the job. They're doing the world a favor. Eradicate Hamas, and then let's talk about what's next.
Quit mowing the grass. Be done with it. Of course, there's concern that, look, once Israel starts bombing as they are again, well, you might see the Hamas terrorists decide to start killing the hostages they're holding. They might. And, of course, some hostages might be killed by collateral damage as Israel's trying to hit Hamas because they're using them as human shields. But if you're concerned so much about that they will themselves start killing the hostages, again, John Bolton offers this note.
Here's an interesting statistic. During the first 6 weeks of conflict when Israel was pounding Hamas in the north and some in the south, how many hostages did Hamas kill? I think the answer to that is we're not aware of anybody they killed. And there's a reason for that. A dead hostage isn't any good to Hamas. So if we don't know that they've killed any in the first 6 weeks, why do we think they're suddenly going to start killing them if Israel resumes its military operations? Mm. I think that's bluff. But I think there's another point, too. I think they've got more than 140 hostages. They've already released a lot of other nationals people hadn't honestly paid any attention to, Thailand and other countries. I suspect there are more there. And here's the thing that really worries me. When you're getting three Palestinian prisoners released for every hostage you turn, every kidnapped victim you turn back to Israel, you know, there's a business plan there to get more Israeli hostages, and that is not good news for the Israeli people.
John Bolton, former National Security Advisor. I mentioned earlier to you that we've got, of course, we've got two carriers in the Mediterranean at this time, standing by as needed. We also have in the Red Sea, we've got destroyer, in fact, the USS Kearney, active in downing two drones trying to hit some merchant ships the other day, fired by the Houthis. The Central Command said the vessel they were trying to hit at that point was flagged Bahama, UK owned and operated. Didn't make any difference to the Houthis. They're shooting at anything in the area, thinking they were going after American targets. At some point, they may well, and they have, tried to hit some American targets against some of the ships that are in the region, but so far, they've not been successful. But when I go through this list of these different attacks, the CENTCOM reports 14 separate nations represented just by these three vessels, none of them U.S., but when we've got U.S. carriers in the region and destroyers, at some point, you can expect that our ships may be fired on. And former Deputy National Security Advisor K.T. McFarland says that could be a game changer.
Frankly, it's a miracle that no Americans have been killed so far.
Yeah.
You know, the Iran doesn't have a foreign military. It has proxies. It has Hezbollah. It has Hamas. It has the Houthis. And that's who's attacking American interests, American vessels, American installations. And until the United States goes to the source, not Iran, but to the source of all these attacks and blows them up, it's going to continue until Americans die. And then we do have an escalated situation.
Yep. Then things begin to escalate. Do you remember the words that Biden said when this first happened? For those who think they were trying to take advantage of this situation, the October 7 attack by Hamas against Israel, I have one word, don't. Well, look how many have been doing it anyway. Where is Biden's red line? It got washed away days ago. Williamsburg, Virginia, they light a public menorah lighting every time they have their arts festival celebrating, observing the Jewish holiday. This time they say they're canceling it for the second Sunday's Art Music Festival, December 10. Why? Because they were told the board is not comfortable allowing the lighting at the festivity. Was to be held by a local rabbi, had nothing to do with the Israeli-Hamas war, but supposedly Jewish leaders were told the event would appear to choose sides and said we would end up possibly facing some violence. The response from the United Jewish community is shocked and alarmed that you'd cancel lighting the menorah. Now, where are all these displaced Palestinians, as they're told to get out of the north, now out of the south, supposed to go? Would Joe Biden bring them to this country? Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff had traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies, but nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows, but if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that might explain health issues at your home or business affecting you, your family, clients. Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. So, as always, be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local. Really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1, and newstalkstl.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you, why pay more than four? In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
I have a great whiskey suggestion. Stolach Whiskey, created using natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Next time, get a bottle. But if you're going to share with friends, you better get at least two bottles. Stolach has the Larry Connors seal of approval. See the full story at Stolach.com. Stolach, Stolloch, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
It's got to be solved by the region. The one thing that would be the worst of all is if the United States, the Biden administration, says, come on in, you know, to have all the Palestinians come to the United States and spread the violence. It's got to stop, and it's got to stop, and the solution is in the region, whether it's Egypt takes some of them, whether Jordan takes some of them, whether some remain and are given some kind of a livelihood to make a viable Palestinian state. Any one of those could happen, but nothing happens as long as Hamas is in charge.
You don't really think that a lot of Palestinians would come to America, do you? Would they let that? Would Biden do that?
Think about it.
I wish you could have seen the video. And when he asked the question, he obviously knows the answer, but he's just posing a question, and she kind of gave him that kind of look, he kind of a little smirky smile, and said, think about it. He knew the answer before he even asked. Yeah, Biden might well consider that. And we'll get into more discussion from KT McFarland, former Deputy National Security Advisor, on her explanation in a moment. But we already know what we've got, and that's going to be part of our answer coming up, and that is the open border. We have the estimates. Everybody is just throwing numbers in the air. No one has any concrete figures. And they range from 8 million to 12 million illegals in this country now since Biden came into office. And more are coming. And we know we have stopped those at the border from at least 150 different countries. We know we have stopped those on a no-fly terror list coming across the border. We know we have stopped some who are obviously wanted for crimes in other countries and should have stayed there, but they came here to escape prosecution. One of them just the other day I told you about, caught in Martha's Vineyard, not sent there by DeSantis, even though he did fly some 50 up there some months ago. And, of course, Martha's Vineyard went absolutely berserk. We can't handle this. Too many. They got 50. But it was just too many. And yet that same Martha's Vineyard can accommodate thousands every summer vacation time. But they couldn't handle 50 illegals because we weren't told in advance. This is a humane situation. We're not ready for it. Never heard a single peep, did you? Never heard a single peep from anyone in Martha's Vineyard about all those coming across our southern border prior to the 50 of them being flown into Martha's Vineyard. The left created this problem. They know they did, and yet they're trying to blame it somewhere else. The Chicago mayor the other day, talking about all the illegals he's got in his city right now, blaming Lori Lightfoot. New York City Mayor Adams blaming Biden. Well, of course you blame Biden, and you blame every other Democrat, every blue city or state that claimed we're a sanctuary. But we're really not. But we're going to say we are because it's kind of cool. Hey, we're a sanctuary. But we're not. You step on my grass, I'll have you thrown off. And I've yet to see any of the great elite on either coast lower the gates over their moats and tell the illegals, come on, you can camp out on our lawn. Or we could probably put 20 families in our garages and you'd be in better conditions than on the street. In the meantime, we have untold hundreds of thousands, if not more, Americans living homeless on the street. A lot of mental health issues, a lot of drug issues, right down the street for the kids to see as they ride on their bus to school. Women bare-breasted walking up and down the streets looking for a John or some kind of money so they can get a fix of some drug. This is what this nation has become. So depraved in so many areas. When you have one, not a border, you don't have a country. And when you have no morals, you're an empty shell. And you're open to whatever fills you the fastest. This nation right now, if you're trying to get a true number of how many undocumented, you're not going to get it. And I'm talking about just those who've come through since Biden took office. The numbers are very clear in the sense that when Trump was in office and he had the stay in Mexico policy, are you coming here for asylum? That is part of our process. We will allow you to come in for asylum, but we need to document that's really why you're coming, not just for a better job or a better place. We certainly understand you want to live a better place than where you are and your family. But many are not coming here to be assimilated. They're coming to take over and to change, if not destroy, our nation. Because all those I've told you about that we know came through, there are at least 2 million now suspected gotaways, the ones they never had contact with. They came over in the dark of night, got caught on a camera, and then they're gone. And then there's another appalling story that's beginning to surface regarding illegals. As if there could be something worse, there is one. Before I get to that, I want to go back to KT McFarland. So some out there are probably saying, look, if we're going to bring these folks from Gaza Strip, we'll be able to vet these Palestinians. You're not going to be able to vet them. We have no way to track down who they are, any documents. All that's been destroyed. Now, we did the same thing with Afghanistan when we pulled out. We let a lot of them on the planes, brought them into the country, and they were not properly vetted, although we were told they were. We know they weren't. But back to KT McFarland thinking or saying, if you think Biden will not try to bring them in and also claim that they're vetting them, don't believe it.
They're encouraging by their open southern border, by turning that southern border over to the hands of human traffickers. We have an open southern border. I don't see why the Biden administration in their crazy thinking is going to say, oh, no, no, don't come here, or we're going to vet them. You can't vet them. That's the problem. Hamas controls whatever records there are. When you try to vet, when we've seen in other administrations, you try to vet who's coming into the United States, unless you have a reliable source back home that is saying, okay, this is John. He lived at this address, and here's his background, and here's his livelihood, and this is the connections. Unless you have the ability to do that, you don't know who you're taking in. And that's taking them in legally. How many people are going to come in illegally?
And there you have it. Even if you're trying to do it, if you're absolutely trying to do it in every legal fashion, you're not going to be able to get documentation. You're not going to be able to get or rely on anyone who says, yeah, I know them and who they are, and everything. You're not going to be able to get that either. There'll be no way to vet them, just as we have let undocumented Afghans in. Hopefully, none are Taliban, but I wouldn't count on it. Just as we have hordes coming across our border at night, trying to avoid detection, for what purpose? They're not going to be thrown out unless they're coming in with intent to carry out a terrorist plot against the nation. And what Biden failed to ask the premier of China the other day when he had him in San Francisco, what about these hundreds of military-age men coming across our border at night? Why are you sending them here? He did not have the balls to ask the question, and he should have, because those men are not coming here, quote, for sanctuary, because if they defected from China, they will know who they are, and their family they left behind will be turned into dog food. I told you there's another horrifying development involving illegals. First of all, let me make it clear to you. Bringing children across for pedophilia, porn rings, you can't really do more than that except for killing the children, but they're going to be dying anyway once they're turned over to these sex dens. But now they're doing it in the sense of bringing them for organ harvesting. And in some cases saying, if you will send your child, if you want your child to go to the U.S., we want the eye, we want the left eye. Or we may take another part. Or we may take all parts of the body. Bringing and especially young, healthy people across the border to steal their organs. And obviously, in some cases, leading to their death. They're not going to be doing any great surgical precision other than protecting the organ they want. And then you're getting to the point that the drug cartels, once they realize how big the black market is for organs, may just be killing them and wherever they live and sending the organs with some of the illegals that are coming across, trafficked just as easily as fentanyl. Maybe they'll be good by the time they get here for implant on whoever's willing to pay for it, or they won't be. But the cartels really won't care as long as they get their money. There'll be more stories like this developing. When you hear about it, say, yeah, I heard about that on Larry Cotter's USA. I can't believe that that's still another issue. And how do you stop it? Shut the border. Close it down immediately. Not going to happen with this administration. Coming up, John Kerry is saying, I don't want coal plants anywhere. I don't understand why people don't understand. Well, actually, the Emirate president of the climate conference he just was at said there's no science backing you up, John Kerry. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is News Talk STL.
One of the five most traumatic experiences in life is moving. I can assure you that McGuire Moving can help ease that pressure. Moving into a new home or a new business, locally, internationally, McGuire is rated number one. More than 80 years of experience. Free estimate, call McGuire, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuireMoving.com.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield is so luxurious you might think you have to be a member. You don't, but you will quickly see why Lit won the 2023 Riverfront Times Best Smoking Lounge, Best Smoke Shop for the second time in a row. Quality cigars, premium drinks. So join me at Lit, just off 40 in the district at Chesterfield. For special events, entertainment, always check the website, litstl.com. litstl.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So John Kerry was at the COP28 Climate Conference in Dubai. If you follow me on Facebook, on either personal or Larry Connors, USA Facebook, I put up a picture the other day that was presented on Twitter by a fellow by the name, I think, Jack Strange. I don't know if that's an accurate name or not. Didn't care. The video was showing apparently a massive snowstorm had hit Munich in Germany. And according to him, a lot of the jets that were on the tarmacs at the time were waiting to carry passengers to the global climate warming concern in Dubai dealing with emissions from fossil fuels. And all of the jets and the runways were covered in inches and inches of snow, heavy enough to tilt one 747 or something like that up on its tail. Go to Larry Connors USA Facebook. You'll easily see it. And he had numerous other pictures. I just grabbed that one and his storyline. So they're meeting in Dubai to talk about getting rid of fossil fuels. Dubai, part of the United Emirates. They're holding a climate conference, which basically is to get rid of whatever made the Emirates so rich. Doesn't sound like a very good setting, does it? And there's a conflict between holding the conference itself and the head of the conference in Dubai, and John Kerry, our self-appointed and Biden-anointed climate change know-it-all. Sunday, just yesterday, John Kerry said, I'm becoming more and more militant about climate policy because people are avoiding responsibility, not doing as you're told. See, there we go again. I told you, no more coal plants, no more gas mowers, no more gas stoves, no more gas heaters. You're not doing as you're told. We will have to send you to a re-education camp. He's that close to that point, becoming more militant. He said, we don't need to transition out of coal. We just don't need any more in the world, period. None. None. And again, the conference connection was dedicated to highlight the connections between climate crisis and the health crisis. So here's John Kerry saying, no more coal plants. You know which country has the largest number of coal plants and growing? China. China, as of last year, had 1,118 operational coal plants on the mainland. 1,118. And they're in the process to build another 300. They're not stopping. They're never stopping. And they do it at a very cheap wage because they got millions and millions of Chinese and the Uyghur Muslims to go into the coal mines and dig until they drop dead. But here's John Kerry saying, I'm going to become more militant because I quote, and I'm quoting here, I don't understand how adults who are in positions of responsibility can be avoiding responsibility for taking away those things that are killing people on a daily basis. Would that be like an open border? Oh, I'm sorry. Went down the wrong road, didn't I? But he's insisting that we got to stop it. And yet, two different energy groups confirm what I just told you. China not only has 1,000-plus coal plants in operation, they're planning 300 more. And then, in addition to the facts in his face, the Emirate president of the COP28 Climate Conference in Dubai, Sultan Al-Jaber, declared there is, quote, no science. He's declaring no science behind alarmist demands to end fossil fuel use, adding any phase out of coal, oil, gas would plunge the world into societal decay and, quote, back into caves. That's the leader of this climate conference in Dubai. He's also CEO of the United Arab Emirates oil giant. So no way he's going to say, okay, I don't want any more money. We'll shut it down to make John Kerry happy. Because as John Kerry said, I don't understand how any responsible adults who are in position of responsibility can avoid this responsibility that's killing people. There was a reporter that was talking to the Sultan about the climate event. And basically telling the Sultan, who's 50 years of age, trained as an engineer and economist, basically, said they spoke to him and stating, we're in an absolute crisis that's hurting women and children more than anyone, because part of this climate thing is also, they had a subtitle for another gathering, She Changes Climate. You know, like, she can change the climate, and he can change a climate, and they or them, whatever pronoun, can change a climate. and pointing out we're in an absolute crisis that's hurting women and children more than anyone. It's because we've not yet committed to phasing out fossil fuel. That is the one decision that COP28 can take. And in many ways, Sultan, since you're the head of ADNOC, the basic major oil giant, you could actually take it out with more credibility. And he turned on the reporter, declaring, "I'm not in any way signing up to any discussion that is alarmist. There is no evidence out there or no scenario out there that says phasing out fossil fuel is going to achieve even a drop of 1.5 degrees centigrade." The reporter challenged him back. "Well, I read your company is investing in a lot more fossil fuel in the future." And the Sultan responded, "You're reading your own media, which is biased and wrong. I'm telling you, I'm the man in charge." And then apparently pointed a finger at all those who are trying to shame the oil producers and users, saying, "Show me the roadmap for a phase out of fossil fuel that will allow for sustainable social economic development, unless you want to go back to the caves. Show me the solutions. Stop pointing fingers." The reporter wanted a good interview. She got it. And she got the Sultan telling her, basically, "Go kiss my oil well, or what might be near it." On the State of the Union on CNN this weekend, anchor Dana Bash was trying to make a point that she started out great, but then she got too timid. And she's not going to get any trophy from those she was trying to denounce. And I'm not going to give her any real reward other than, okay, you tried, but you're just too damn scared to be blunt about it.
It's kind of remarkable that this issue hasn't gotten enough attention globally. Widespread use of rape, brutal rape, sexual violence against Israeli women by Hamas. I've seen a lot of progressive women, generally speaking, they're quick to defend women's rights and speak out against using rape as a weapon of war.
And rape is used as a weapon of war, but usually not by soldiers themselves, but it was used in Israel by the terrorist Hamas group. They were not warriors, they were terrorists, and they wanted to inflict as much pain and barbarity as they could. And so Dana Bash, with her guest on CNN Weekend, Congresswoman Yahya Paul, Democrat of Washington, she was making that, saying, "I'm not hearing a lot, even from progressive women who should be so concerned about women and being victimized like this," as she used the phrase again, brutal rape. But in some of the cases, as we go through some of the storylines, I'm reading a quote in the London Jewish Chronicle, quoting a person as an eyewitness, giving her name, saying, "I saw this beautiful woman with the face of an angel and 8 or 10 of the fighters beating and raping her. She was screaming, 'Stop it. I'm going to die anyway from what you're doing. Just kill me.' And when they finished raping her, they were laughing, and the last one, still raping her, still in her, shot her in the head." That's what Dana was talking about. And she raised that with Yahya Paul. But immediately, the congresswoman, progressive, who's a PLO enthusiast and a Hamas supporter, although she won't say it, she sees nothing really wrong. In fact, not necessarily nothing wrong, but you don't really have a balance here in what you're trying to claim.
I don't know that that's true. I think we always talk about the impact of war on women in particular. In fact, I remember 20 years ago, I did a petition around the war in Iraq.
Have you talked about it since October 7th?
Oh, absolutely. And I've condemned what Hamas has done. I've condemned
specifically
all
against
of
women.
The actions. Absolutely. The rape, of course. But I think we have to remember that Israel is a democracy. That is why they are a strong ally of ours. And if they do not comply with international humanitarian law, they are bringing themselves to a place that makes it much more difficult strategically for them to be able to build the kinds of allies to keep public opinion with them. And frankly, morally, I think we cannot say that one war crime deserves another. That is not what international humanitarian law says.
That wasn't a question at all, was it? She took the issue of rape and turned it around to say Israel might be committing crimes because they're bombing and killing hundreds of innocent civilians. That's not the intent of Israel. And if that were could stop easily enough, if Hamas would just say, all Palestinians can leave, we'll stay here and fight the Israelis. But they won't do that. They're using them as shields. But the very fact that she's claiming, I condemned it, no, you have not condemned it. You were in the streets with your other progressive squad members, including Congresswoman Cori Bush, yelling, from the sea, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. That means you don't care about Jews, whether they're women being raped repeatedly or not. Don't give us this glib answer. Oh, and there, we've got to look at a balance of war. Well, Dana tried to find some way to get the conversation turned back.
With respect, I was just asking about the women, and you turned it back to Israel. I'm asking you about Hamas, in fact.
I already answered your question, Dana. I said it's horrific, and I think that rape is horrific, sexual assault is horrific. I think that it happens in war situations. Terrorist organizations like Hamas obviously are using these as tools. Mm-hmm. However, I think we have to be balanced about bringing in the outrages against Palestinians. Yeah. 15,000 Palestinians have been killed in Israeli airstrikes, three quarters of whom are women and children.
And it's horrible, but you don't see Israeli soldiers raping
Well, Dana,
Palestinian
I think
women.
we're not, I don't want this to be the hierarchy of oppressions.
Right.
I think 15,000 people have been killed.
No one is arguing someone being killed against someone being raped. She's asking, what do you have to say about those women? Well, I condemn it, but we have to look at the balance of what Israel is doing. No, you don't. You can stay on one subject, except that's not what you want. You want to turn it into a bigger thing and denounce Israel for defending itself and defending the women that were raped and also murdered. Have you seen some pictures of some of these women released? Their faces are still in shock. Not even knowing what happened to them, I can just see by their face. Who knows what they saw or experienced themselves. But Yahya Paul sits there, nicely dressed in the CNN studio. Yes, I condemn that, but, however, on the balance, Dana Bash will try one more time, and if she would not be so timid, maybe she would be successful.
You don't see Israeli soldiers raping
Well, Dana,
Palestinian
I think
women.
we're not, I don't want this to be the hierarchy of oppressions.
Right.
I think 15,000 people have been killed.
It shouldn't
Palestinians.
Be, and which is horrible.
And 2.2 million Palestinians live in 140 square mile area, mm-hmm. which is about the size of Las Vegas, with a population that is four times that of Las Vegas, and 1.8 million Palestinians right now are displaced. They are living in shelters. They are being told to move to South Gaza. Then South Gaza is being bombed. They're being told to move to North Gaza. There are no homes left. Yeah. The vast majority of infrastructure has been destroyed. This is not the way that we are going to beat terrorism, whether it's Hamas or some future iteration of Hamas.
No, she never got pinned down. She went into her litany about how bad it is for the Palestinians, and I agree it is. But she, again, was deflecting any criticism of this sexual violence. Well, I condemn it, but on balance, no, you don't. By the way, the Israeli military reporting rape kits, which need to be used the first 48 hours, couldn't be used because many of the bodies were came in were so badly mutilated they couldn't even begin to collect evidence. Some of the women, their pelvis broken because they had repeated assaults. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.